Once again, beautiful singing, beautiful day. I know it's a bit cold out, maybe a little bit of snow, but that's okay. What a great honor and privilege it is to be here together in the presence of God with God's people in worship. We're so thankful for everyone here. We're grateful for our visitors. We want you to know that we appreciate the fact that you're here with us this morning. And we want you to know that you are wanted and you are needed. And we're just grateful for your presence. And if you have any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. Now, our theme for the year, as you see on the screen here, we're talking about being vessels of honor. We got into that last week. We looked at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. And I want us to be reminded of the topics that we're going to be looking at this year under that theme. And I want you to note how we are beginning with the topic of worship. Listen, I'm never going to be the vessel of honor that God wants me to be if I don't understand worship, if I don't understand what it is, if I don't understand my part in that worship, right? I'm never going to be a vessel of honor. And the thing about it is, the more and more I understand being a vessel of honor, what worship is, and how they go hand in hand, my faith is going to mature and mature and mature. And so we're going to start where we need to start. We're talking about worship. Why do we worship? What does it mean? What's the purpose of worship? So let's take a look at that. And we need to go back in our Old Testament, a good place to start. And I want you to think about David. 2 Samuel 22, which, by the way, is an exact parallel to Psalm 18. And in that, and in here, what we need to understand is David sins. David recognizes his sin problem. He seeks the only answer to the sin, and that is God, and God forgives him. David receives a forgiveness that only God can offer, and he accepts that forgiveness, and then David celebrates. And he celebrates in worship. And so let's understand this. And if you don't remember anything from this lesson, except for this, remember that worship is a celebration. It's a response to the salvation that we have in Christ. And I pray that's why you're here this morning. It's a response to the forgiveness of your sins as a Christian. Right? Your cup is overflowing, and you can't help but gather with the saints before God in worship. And that cup is overflowing, and you can't stop that praise and that adoration going to God. That's what worship is. A true understanding of your salvation. Because you sinned and you sought the only one who could help you. You acknowledge that sin in your life and your inability to remove that sin on your own, by the way. You receive that forgiveness through the blood of Christ. And so now you can say, like our text here in 2 Samuel 22, now you can say, the Lord is my rock, the Lord is my fortress, the Lord is my deliverer, right? The God of my strength, verse 3, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You have saved me from violence. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Now, if you were to read the remainder of this chapter here, you would learn that God is involved in your life, that God cares about you. Right? Just read a little bit here. Let's read 17 and 18. Right? He sent from above. I want you to think about Jesus. He took me. Think of the cross. He drew me out of many waters. Think about your obedience to the gospel. Now, stay with me. Verses 17 and 18, 2 Samuel 22. He delivered me from my strong enemy. I want you to think about Satan. From those who hated me, for they were too strong for me. Right? Think about sin and Satan here. Let's just read two more verses, 19 and 20. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He also brought me out into a broad place, and he delivered me because he delighted in me. Let's go to our New Testament. I want you to go to Colossians, the third chapter. Now, we're going to be bouncing around a lot between mainly Hebrews 13, Colossians, and Ephesians. But I want you to note this in Colossians. We learn about worship here. Now, Colossians What's really neat about it, it speaks about the blessings that the Lord affords me as one of his children. Right? It's written to Christians for Christians. Right? 13 and 14, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Right? And if we had time, we would look at the entire book and these thoughts, how it culminates in chapter 3, 16 and 17. Right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Right? You see, you can't stop me from worshiping God. Just like David in 2 Samuel 22. Right? He delivered me. He's my rock. He's my fortress. And if I was to read chapter 2 here of Colossians, right? He's allowed me to put off these destructive things and put on the things of Christ. He's allowing me time to mature my faith, and I thank God for that, so I'm going to worship him. He delivered me. He conveyed me from darkness. I belong in the kingdom of the Son of his love. You can't stop me from worshiping my God. I'm going to worship him. All right, whatever I do in word or deed, you know, I tell you what, I'm going to do it in the name of the Lord. Jump over to Ephesians 5. And again, we're going to be kind of bouncing back and forth here with some of these. Book of Ephesians, very similar. They're sister books, Colossians and Ephesians. I learned chapter 1 verse 7, what I have in Christ, I've got redemption. Right? And it's through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, and it's according to the riches of his grace. So again, it starts off by reminding me of what I have in Christ. And then I'm reminded how I used to walk again. Right? Now I have this new path for Christ. Again, he affords me wonderful blessings. And so I imitate him in my new walk. Chapter 5, Ephesians, verse 1. Right, I learn I must walk in love, verse 2. I learn I must walk as a child of light, verse 8. I learn that I need to walk circumspectly or wisely, redeeming the time, verse 16. And again, this culminates in an end result. Because of the blessings he has afforded me in his kingdom, because I no longer walk for myself, I walk and I live for him. And I want you to note here how this culminates again in a very similar way. And I want you to read this with me in chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? So it's going to culminate again. You can't stop me from worshiping my God, and it's going to end in song and prayer, and I'm going to do these things in all humility. See, worship is a celebration of deliverance. Right? Worship is an expression of gratitude. Worship demonstrates devotion. So in the remaining time that we have this morning, I want us to look at two main points. And again, we're never going to be a vessel of honor if we do not understand what worship is. We understand our part in worship. We need to understand the object of our worship, and that'll be in another lesson. Right? Worship isn't simply showing up to a building once or twice or three times a week. So let's understand what worship is this morning. Here, number one, worship is a celebration of deliverance. Worship is that expression of gratitude for what God has afforded us in his kingdom. Go to Hebrews 13 and verse 15. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. And if we had time, if it would allow, again, I would go back and look at the whole chapter and note the pattern here. Same pattern that you see in Psalm 18 and 2 Samuel 22 and in Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3. Same pattern. But I want you to read this with me, chapter 13 and verse 15 of the book of Hebrews. Again, how it culminates again. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So focusing here on verse 15, you know, think of that word there, sacrifice. And he does illustrate it earlier in the passage. Your translation might say offering. We're talking about worship here. And, you know, in worship, a sacrifice that praises God. And so just to get technical for a couple minutes here, there's four main Greek words in your Greek New Testament that we usually translate into English as the word worship. But there's four main words that are in the language of the New Testament in the Koine Greek. We've got number one, of course, proskuneo, which literally means to kiss toward. And it also carries the idea of being prostrate on the ground before someone greater than you, and you're giving honor, you're kissing toward them. And then you have the Greek word sabo, and we're going to read a passage for these two in a minute. It's the idea of honoring or to venerate. And then we got latreo, which, you know, in new modern translations, like in Hebrews 12:28, Romans 12:1, you're going to see it translated as service. But it still is a worship word. Right, and this is carrying the idea of the actions that we take in worship. Right, worship is a verb, so that's why sometimes you see that word translated service, sometimes worship. Threskia is worship expressed in ritual acts. Now, there's a couple other words that carry the idea of worship, like eulegio, which means to speak well of. We got a word for that at a funeral, right? We call it a eulogy. Right, it means to speak well of. And so there's other words that carry the idea of worship, but these are the main words for worship when we're looking at things in a very technical sense. And also I'd like to note this, because someone asked me this question and then we just sang about it a few minutes ago, the word hallelujah. Someone's like, what does that really mean? Well, it means to praise God. And it's a Hebrew word, which Hallel was a short song meaning to praise God. Yah is God, right? So praise Yah, Jehovah God, praise God. And now, if you ever sometimes you see it, Alleluia, that's just a Greek and then a Latinized form of Hallelujah. It just means praise God. And so I thought I would, there's a bonus for you this morning, but jump over to John chapter 4. John, the fourth chapter, we see this word, proskuneo. It's actually used 10 times in just 6 verses here. John, the fourth chapter, and this is that conversation that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman at the well. And here, and by the way, I think this is a good, I've heard this illustration before, it's a good way to illustrate what this word means, this proskuneo, to kiss towards. If you've ever had kids, right, when they're young, especially the little girls, you know, maybe 8, 9 months old or something like that, you know, you begin to teach them how to blow kisses. Remember that with your kids? You know, at that age, especially when they got little chubby arms, little chubby fingers, right, and how cute it is the first time they try to blow you a kiss or you blow them a kiss and they try to catch it, right? Why do you do that with them? Why do you blow them kisses? You do it because you love them, right? That's what this word is, right? You're blowing kisses toward God because you love them, right? So that's the idea of this word here. So let's just read for a moment here, John chapter 4, beginning of verse 19. And the woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain." Now she's talking about Mount Gerizim. Right after the children of Israel taken off to captivity, several remnants stayed behind, and they no longer worshipped in Jerusalem. It was destroyed, and they started their own religion, the Samaritan religion. Kind of looked like Judaism, but it wasn't. Doing a little paganism. Now they kind of started their own thing. That's why the Jews hated them so much. They started a false religion. So he says, "Our fathers worship proskuneo on this mountain, Gerizim, and you Jews say that it is in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain, Gerizim, nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. Now, listen, Jesus is calling her out for false worship. Right? So understand this. Proper, acceptable worship to God matters. If it didn't, Jesus wouldn't have called her out on it. They're worshiping Jehovah God, but they're doing it wrong. So he's calling her out on this. You're kissing to God wrong. So he calls her out on this. See, it matters. Woman, believe me, the hour's coming. I want you to back up, read it all together, verse 21. Woman, believe me, the hour's coming when you will neither on this mountain nor Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what worship, for what we worship is for the salvation of Jews, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Right? So, you know, of course, at that point when he's talking to her, old covenant still in place, Jews worship at the temple. But he's saying the time's coming, the new covenant, right? When he ascends to the right hand of the glory of the Father, Acts chapter 2, reign as king of the kingdom. Now there's going to be a spiritual kingdom of the heart. But it's still going to have standards, spirit and truth. And so what we're being taught here is you got to do it in a God-approved and God-designed way. Right? But it has to be in love and in spirit. It's got to be with the right attitude behind it. Now, I want you to contrast that with me real quick. Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 8 and 9. And I mentioned that other word for worship in the Greek a moment ago, sabo, which means to venerate, to honor, to stand in awe of. Now, the word worship here is what I have in my translation, New King James. Jesus, again, speaking here. He's saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, sabo. In vain do they venerate me and honor me. So it looks good, right? The outside form, it looks good. You see, God knows the heart. So yes, it's got to be in truth, but it's got to be with the right attitude and love. Right? So what's the problem here? Well, teaching as doctrines and commandments, again, they're worshiping me in vain because they're teaching the doctrines and the commandments of men. Right? So you've got the truth side of it, you've got the love side of it. It's got to be both. And so I think that's a good example for us right there. And hopefully we can see the difference. So not only is worship a celebration of deliverance, the expression of gratitude by kissing towards God for saving us, for loving us. So not only is it an emotion that we have for deliverance, but secondly this morning, worship is an expression of devotion to praise God for that deliverance. So again, go back to Hebrews chapter 13. And I want you to understand that word to praise also means to speak well of, like eulogio or eulogy. Right? When you say you're praising God, it means you're speaking well of God. That's what it literally means. And I want you to note here in this text that word praise, anasis in the Greek. This word's used in a metaphoric sense. And it's almost the idea of a standing ovation for God. Right? And no, this isn't a sanction for clapping and worship, because God never tells us what to do without telling us how to do it. Right? So keep reading here. Look at the text. Right? We do that standing ovation, if you will, not with the hands, but with the heart, by the fruit of the lips, a standing ovation with song. That's what the text is telling us. Now, I want you to tie that in with Colossians chapter 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. So go back to Ephesians 5 with me one more time. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, I want you to note this. And I want you to see something very important here as we think about worship, what it is and what it's not. Verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 5 speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Now that word spiritual there, as New King James has it, Greek word pneumatikos, right? We get our word pneumatics from it, like a pneumatic drill, right? It's powered by air, right? If you know what that is. Right, so that's where that word comes from. And so what we learn here with this word, pneumatics is an application of pressurized air to get a response, right? So spiritual here means inspired by the Spirit. So sing with the emotions, sing with truth as inspired by the Spirit of God. Remember Jesus had a conversation with Nicodemus in John chapter 3? And he told Nicodemus in chapter 3 and verse 8, you can't see the wind, but you can see the effects of the wind, or you can't see the Spirit, but you can see the effects of the Spirit. Just like the flag on the flagpole out there, if it's windy outside, right, you can see the effects of the wind, but you can't see the wind. Jesus having that conversation with Nicodemus helps us to understand this. But I want you to note here in Galatians chapter 5, right? You want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit? Well, here it is. Start tying it all together. Galatians 5, verse 16, I say then, walk in the Spirit. Verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is, love, joy, peace, etc. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So if we live in the Spirit, right, we have come to an understanding of some things, right? We start to understand some of the things that God has afforded us in His kingdom, right? So as vessels of honor then, now I worship Him for what He's allowed me to have in His kingdom, right? So I express devotion to Him in spirit and in truth. Back here again in Ephesians 5, I know that God loves me, right? And He's involved in my life in an active way, same as 2 Samuel 22 with David. Right? And he goes on to say, put off the old me, put on the new man. Don't walk as a son of disobedience anymore, but rather walk in love as a child of light. Walk circumspectly, right? That's the results of the Spirit of God in my life. And so again, verse 19, Ephesians 5, right? You cannot stop me from expressing my devotion to God. I'm going to sing, I'm going to make melody in my heart to the Lord. And making melody in the original language, by the way, it means to pluck the heart strings of the heart. Right? So emotion, worshiping God, and in spirit, the fruit of the lips, and truth, you're doing it in a manner in which God prescribes. Right, so verse 20, I'm going to pray, giving thanks for all things to God. Verse 21, I'm going to submit. Listen, Christianity is a religion of submission. I'm going to submit to God. I'm going to submit to the elders. I'm going to submit to my brethren in love. Because I'm living out the fear of God in my life. And we start to see how it all goes hand in hand in our text here. So what is all of that? I want you to think about this. Like David in 2 Samuel 22, right? I sinned. I acknowledge that sin. I come to an understanding that He loves me, that He wants what's best for me in my life. I start to mature in these things. I really start to understand these things, right? I do my best to flee from that sin that entrapped me, that destroys me. He conveyed me, He transferred me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Now, I want you to read Colossians 3:16 with me in a little more detail, and we'll begin to finish up the lesson here in a few minutes. So Colossians 3 and verse 16, read it with me if you have your Bible open. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Back in Ephesians 5, very similar language, right? Right, we're told to be filled with certain things and to remove certain things from our lives. So let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Right, Ephesians, again, talked about wisdom, chapter 5. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. There's a word pneumatic again. Inspired by the Spirit of God in our singing. powered by the means of the Spirit, not some man-made instrument, by the way. Singing, right? Plucking the strings of the heart, emotion. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord, right? And so you have truth in all of that. You've got love in all of that. You're doing it in the manner that God prescribes, and you're doing it with the right mindset. You're doing it with the right attitude. Right? So we put that together. What does that mean? Right? You have spirit in that, emotion, the why of your singing with grace, right? And we learn that worship is an expression of, number one, gratitude. I'm so grateful for what God has done for me. God is so great, He's so mighty, so majestic, I'm so small, I'm so weak and sinful, yet He loved me while I was still a sinner, and Christ died for me. And so I have gratitude. And worship is an expression of devotion for who He is, praising Him with the fruit of the lips because He is worthy. Let's finish this morning in 1 Peter, if you would, chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And here's our application, and then the lesson is yours. I want you to read with me verses 4 and 5. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4 begins, coming to Him, right? We come to Him. He never moves. Right? Think of that fortress. The fortress isn't moving. You got to go to the fortress. Right now, He provides a way into the fortress, but the fortress never goes anywhere. God never leaves. Right, Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, we sin and we separate ourselves from God. He never goes anywhere. Right, He is constant, that fortress of protection and deliverance, right? He's our rock. So coming to Him as to a living stone, our God is alive. Indeed, rejected by man. Listen, man will and always will, always has, tried to approach God on their own terms. And it goes all the way back to Cain. Right? That's our first introduction to proper worship. Cain wanted to do things his own way, and God says, will you not be accepted? Right? So he wasn't bringing before God what was acceptable. God sets a standard for that, right? In truth. And of course, in love with the right attitude. So man has always done that, like we saw in Matthew 15, 8, 9. You got folks, it looks like worship. Looks like they're venerating me, they're honoring me, but they're not, right? They're just approaching me by their own traditions and commandments and doctrines of men. Right? So folks have always either rejected him in spirit or in truth or both. Nothing's changed. Keep reading. But chosen by God and precious. Then verse 5, you also, as living stones, are being built up, think of the fruits of the Spirit, you're being built up a spiritual house, there's a word pneumatic again, right, as inspired by the Spirit. And we ask, what are you trying to tell us, Peter? You know, what are we being built up as? What is this spiritual house? Well, he says, keep reading, a holy priesthood. Right, a priest is one who stands before God and serves God in worship. Right, but we are all priests in the new covenant. Right, a priest is one who served God in a manner and attitude that God prescribed. So Peter, what is this priest of the new covenant supposed to do? And Peter says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. There's our word pneumatic again. Is inspired by the Spirit of God. You know, what type of Spirit-inspired sacrifices do we offer to God in worship? Here it is. He says they must be acceptable. It's got to be in truth. It's got to be in spirit. It's got to be acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. If you were to sum all of this up, what would it tell you? Well, it should impress upon you this fact, right, that the greatest hour of your life should be the hour that you get to express devotion and gratitude to God. That you get to praise and adore the Creator of the universe who loved you and saved you. He's delivered you. right? And in that, I will be a vessel of honor. Listen, we need to understand what God has afforded us in his kingdom and be thankful for that in worship, right? To be sanctified, useful to the master, and prepared for every good work. So this morning here, as we offer the Lord's invitation, I want you to think about for a moment, before you answer in your mind, what you're going to do with the gospel is, or rather, have you taken advantage of what God offers you in his kingdom? Right? Because you can't truly worship God unless you've been forgiven. And you cannot be forgiven unless you've obeyed the gospel. You see how that works? Because if worship is my response to my salvation, the deliverance that God has afforded me through Jesus, right? I can't get that forgiveness unless I obey the gospel. So I want you to think about this morning what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4, it's literally the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning of verse 7, it says, Jesus is coming back with his angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who know not God and have not obeyed the gospel. You can know God all day long, but if you have not obeyed the gospel, you're going to suffer the consequences. But the good news is, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you can do that right now. You can obey the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Romans 6, 3 and 4, it tells us that it's through immersion in water you're reenacting his death, burial, and resurrection when you come up out of that water to walk in newness of life. And you're doing that with responsive faith. You believe that Jesus is, John 8, verse 24. You're willing to repent of your sins, Acts 2, 38. You're willing to confess Christ with your mouth, Romans 10, 9 and 10. Right? And that's a response of faith. Now I want to die to Christ in immersion. And you come up out of that water, sins removed. It's not easy. Now don't do that if you're not willing to count the cost. But if you do that, you count the cost. You come up out of that water, let me tell you, you can't stop the worship that's going to go to God. And you begin that journey of being a vessel of honor. So we can help you with that this morning. We'd love to do that. If you've done that and you went back to a lifestyle of sin, you don't have a reason to worship. Let's get you back home, get you reconciled. If you have any need this morning, please let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.
Oh, to Jesus.